The things people love to hate and hate to love, and we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
Yes, and we're back after the Golden Globes.
Golden Globes. Yeah. Did you watch the whole thing?
I did. I did.
Nice. Good for you.
Did you watch the whole thing? Do I dare ask?
I did not, but that's because I knew we weren't doing a full episode on it.
Well, yes, that's true.
So I watched like the opening bit, and then I watched clips. It's just like a lot. It's a lot. I mean, it's the Golden Globes, so it's TV and movies. And it's like the most indulgent award show. So it like always runs long, which is makes for fun clips, but not necessarily, you know, 3 hours of my evening.
Yeah, I feel like they're because this is like, I don't know what, the second or third year that the Golden Globes are back after they sort of got like canceled. Yeah. And then
after nominating Emily in Paris.
Right. And because they like put everybody on a jet, and then it was like they didn't run for a year. Then they were sort of like trying to claw their way back. Now we feel like it's back to like where they normally were, sort of in the hierarchy. And on one hand, it does feel like the Golden Globes are a little bit more legitimate now. Like their nominations are a little bit less wacky. But then I do think that also makes the show a little bit less fun, because most of the winners were people who were expected to win, who had already won, like, especially on the TV side of things, it's like they had just won Emmys, they had just won Critics' Choice Awards. Like, there wasn't any of that sort of, like, loopy weirdness that I feel like sometimes the Golden Globes has. And I did think it was a fun show. Like, there was some good bits. I think Nikki Glaser did a really good job as the host. And they also, like, did not... I think there was one person that they sort of, like, played off. Otherwise, they let everybody kind of give whatever speech they wanted, which in a lot of cases ended up being sort of long, rambly, dull affairs. But, I don't know, it, like, there were, it had some fizz to it in parts. But I kind of wanted, like, the moment when Lady Gaga won for... American Horror Story Asylum or whatever, and you got that shot of Leonardo DiCaprio being like, what? Like, I wanted a little bit more of like, why did this person win?
You know what I did like? I watched like every clip so far of the Golden Globes, like had who was it? The actress from Mary Beth Barone from Overcompensating. She did the red carpet interviews and she was really fun.
Yes.
So I like that.
She was like so awkward in some of them, but like in a really funny way. She's asking Dylan Efron about like, she's like, oh, like, do you have family members?
He has no idea what's going on.
He's like, yeah, I have a brother. I have a couple sisters. Like, oh, who's like your brother?
So
like, what's going on? Like, who is that? Oh, Zach. Yeah. Is he in the industry?
Yeah.
It was like, you could tell where she was going from like a mile away, and he was not taking the bait.
He did not know what was happening.
Oh, it was
great. Elle Fanning is like the opposite. They had a good banter where it's like, do celebrities matter? And she's like, yes, of course.
Both of the Fanning sisters are incredible. Yeah. I'm like, the Fanning essence or whatever, I feel like is happening. And I'm like, yes, let's get them, you know. I mean, not that they ever really were anywhere,
the
but.
Fanning essence. Is that like, trending? Is that a hashtag? We should pay attention.
Well, after this episode, it might be.
Fanning essence.
Fanning essence.
No, but yeah, it was a good show. I mean, it was fine. Because, I felt like there weren't really any unexpected wins or things that were like out of left field. Obviously, there were some disappointments for like, you personally.
I think it was a little surprising that Wagner Mora won best actor in a drama for The Secret Agent over Sinners. Sinners did not have a great night, and I am a little bit worried about that. I don't like the other movies and performances that got nominated other than Hamnet, really.
God. What? Hot take. You did not like that movie? Or you didn't think it was good?
It's not that I dislike Hamnet necessarily. I just don't like it as much as the other movies that are nominated. You know?
Okay. Yeah.
Have you seen Hamnet
yet? You hate women, I guess.
I hate women who are crying. Come on, girl.
Children
up, like,
and women. You hate mothers.
I love children. I don't like watching children die.
You hate a sad child. And I'm also like,
the main character of this should be Shakespeare. Like, it should be male focused, man. No,
stop. You're rage baiting. You're rage baiting. I've been talking to my therapist about this. I know what you're trying to do here. Okay. We can move on.
It started and she's cooking, and I'm like, good, the woman's cooking where she's supposed to be. And then she sort of got like high on her horse and was like, I want to be the main character of this movie. And I was like, no, girl, like, go back to smashing herbs in the kitchen and leave the writing to the men.
I actually don't even think there's a scene of her cooking in this movie.
Well, yeah, but she's doing like witch, like, yeah, whatever that is. Is that not cooking? Yeah, whatever
it's
that
not
is.
It's cooking, no.
It feels adjacent.
She's a businesswoman, okay?
She's running an apothecary.
Yeah.
She's a drug dealer. That's what
she
is.
She is literally, okay, it's like the reason Hamlet gets to go, I mean, Shakespeare gets to go off and do his little artsy, I change the world thing, is because she supports him, literally. So.
And I do like that for her.
So, yeah.
I think the thing for Hamlet, like, okay, so in all seriousness, I liked Hamlet as a movie. I do think it's a good movie. I think that it's gorgeously shot. I think the performances are really incredible. However, I don't necessarily think it's an enjoyable movie. Not that it has to be, because it is really sad. And then that Max Richter song that they play at the end has been used in like
15 It's his score, though. He can use it.
Yes, it is. But I'm just like, it felt sort of manipulative when we got to that
final scene
where it's like, yes, the song is so beautiful. And I was crying during it. But then I left and I was like, I don't think I understood what was going on in that scene. And I think I was just crying because the song was good.
Sorry, it's like the Mozart of our generation. Like, we're going to hear it for the rest of our lives.
I know.
Okay.
But I'm like, Sinners, Sentimental Value, One Battle After Another. Like,
you're like, you know what I loved? Secret Agent.
The Secret Agent is good, I do think.
I believe it is. Is it enjoyable, though? Is it entertaining and not so depressing?
I don't know, because it's about a dictatorship in Brazil. Yeah, so exactly. Also not a fun subject matter. There's actually a lot of really depressing movies this year. So,
as always, yeah.
And then there's K-pop Demon Hunters, which is not depressing. Oh, yeah. And won 16 things.
It's so cute.
Did you have any winners or losers that you particularly cared about? I was excited Rose Byrne won.
Yeah, I liked her speech. I think she's just like...
She was funny.
She was like, sorry.
Bobby Cannavale is picking up a reptile in the New Jersey
expo bearded dragon
of reptiles.
Have you watched Pluribus?
No, I have not.
I know, you're such a... You hate TV.
I really do.
But no, I watched it also. Exciting for her. I thought her beta blocker joke was funny. I'm not really into everyone being so obsessed with beta blockers, though. It's like... Do we need to do this to ourselves? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like I only like recently heard about beta block. Like, I have heard the phrase beta blocker like back in the 90s or whatever.
Totally different. Yeah.
Right. Like, that was something that was used for like women in the attic kind of vibe. like Jane Eyre's the first wife
famously
or whatever. Yes.
The first one to go on beta blockers.
But now I feel like everyone is taking them, and I'm kind of like, wait, so you can't feel anything?
Like, yeah, you're like,
I'm like, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that.
Sign me up. Let's think of other highlights from it.
I watched, I did love all the Amy Poehler things. Like, everything that involved Amy Poehler, I thought was
I know,
funny.
But can we just say the best podcast award is the dumbest thing to add to these? Oh, like, please.
So dumb. But did you see the like AMC like ad that Nikki Glaser did beforehand, which was basically like, this is a stupid award. Why are we doing this?
I know. But it's like, why is this here? Why?
I don't know.
But yeah, she's funny. She knows it. They did some off screen, didn't they? Did they do like score or something off?
They did one award, apparently, the best score during the commercial break, which is weird because like it was only one award that they did that way. Yeah. And also they only like that's really the only below the line category that they even give out at the Golden Globes. Yeah. So it's such a strange like why is it there to begin with? And then why are we giving it out during the commercial?
Yeah. And also the like. The I know it's always like SponCon, but I feel like this time there was like that cheesy bit with the Poly Market, like
yes,
the betting going on. It's like, guys, this is literally a disease. We don't need to introduce online gambling to this audience,
right? It was like, let's play a drinking game on air. Everybody get out your liquor. We're all going to take a shot every time something happens. Like, it was sort of a deranged, and I hated the two of them, the Entertainment Tonight people or whatever, who were sort of like giving them. Well, okay. I'm like, I actually have a couple of things I need to talk about that are all connected. So number one, which they did this last year and I hated it last year and I can't believe they brought it back, was when they're introducing the nominees, instead of getting like clips or seeing like a close up of their face, it's like we get this wide shot of the ballroom and then there's an arrow that points to which table all of these people are sitting
at. The geotag. It's
here's no Stellan. One cares where, like, I don't care where these people are sitting and you can't really like see anyways.
And so
that was like annoying. Yeah. And then because they cram so many people into this ballroom and it would take some of these people like a minute to get from the back up to the front, the stage to accept these awards. And so you have these like MCs, and I don't know if they could, if the people in the room were getting this or if it was just for the TV, but these MCs sort of vamping, like saying fun facts about the people, which were kind of weird.
While Rihanna's playing in the background inexplicably.
Right. And yes, and then the music selection was insane. Like, it wasn't music from the movie or like the theme song or a score or whatever. It'd be like, and the winner is Jesse Buckley. And then it would be like apple bottom jeans, boots with the fur, like while she's getting up, and you're like, what? Like, this song has nothing to do with anything. And then underneath that, they're like, Jesse Buckley loves horses. Yeah, she actually has 16 horses, and one of them is named Claude. And you're like, what? Like, what kind of fever dream are we in? As she snakes her way through all of these people. And it was like, I understand that there's a lot of politics with like these seating charts and stuff, but like, they had like studio executives and whatnot sitting at these tables in the front, like Ted Sarandos and David Zaslav or whatever, like are on the floor. Like, they're not winning anything. They're not giving speeches. I understand that they're like famous and powerful, but they do not need to be within walking distance of the stage. Like, put somebody who is going to, and some of the people who won were people that we knew were going to win and they were still nowhere near it. Like, you knew that those K-pop Demon Hunter songwriters were going to win that award. Yeah. And they put them in the back corner. It took forever for them to get up there. While a song from K-pop Demon Hunters was not playing. It was some other song.
Yeah. And what about the Box Office Achievement Award?
Oh, well, that went to Sinners.
I know, but it's like, how are you nominating K-pop Demon Hunters? It didn't go to the box office.
Well, yes. It's very true.
It's like, what is this award? This is just so you can give an award to people you don't want to give a more serious award to. And it's insulting. It's rude. You can't nominate Avatar when Avatar hadn't even had a chance to perform in the box office yet.
Yeah.
That's my rant.
And then they also have the stand-up award that I think is not new this year, but maybe came out like 2 or 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that is also weird that they have it. And another like bid to get more famous people to this ceremony. Yeah. But that ended up being sort of funny because Ricky Gervais won, but he wasn't there. But Wanda Sykes presented it. So he was like, she was like, oh yes, we're accepting this award on behalf of the trans community, which like, Ricky Gervais loves. Like, she kept saying funny bits because Ricky Gervais is transphobic. Yeah. But yeah, I don't There was a lot of weirdness, and not necessarily in the best way. Also, I did realize that I had truly watched none of these TV shows.
I know. It's like, did you even watch Adolescence? There's another sad kid in it.
No.
Yeah, no.
Of all of the like act of the main TV nominees, I have seen The White Lotus, The Studio, Hacks. Mm. That's it. I mean, I've watched episodes of Abbott Elementary, but not recently. And I've watched episodes of Only Murders in the Building, but not this season. I'm like,
All Her Fault, great. The little kid on the red carpet was very cute.
Yeah. The Beast in Me, no idea what that is. I'm really into that. The Girlfriend on Prime Video, no idea what that is.
Yeah. I mean, and Heated Rivalry, has that not entered your lexicon? I mean, it's...
Well, that didn't get nominated.
Right. I know. But are you going to watch Heated Rivalry?
I think
it's just for straight women.
I think there's too much going on at the moment with Heated Rivalry. Like, I think I'll wait and watch it before the second season starts. I think it's my point.
Yeah. You don't want to be too, like, popular, you know, zeitgeisty. You don't want to be a part of it. You want to stay on the fringe.
Right. Yes. I want to be cooler than everyone else who's watching Heated Rivalry, you know?
Yeah. That's fair.
It's like, why would I be watching Heated Rivalry when I could be watching TikToks, you know? A great point.
Well, I did want to, I mean, yeah, I agree. I haven't watched it either. It feels like it happened too fast, and I don't feel like it'll last, you know, like the interest. So it's like, why get on the ship now?
I mean, the interest has lasted for a while.
And it came out this month.
No, I think it started coming out in November, didn't it?
Oh, I thought it was like...
The finale
January 1st.
No, the finale was like Christmas.
Okay, well, people have been... Yeah. Yeah, it's been a lot this month, I feel like. Interest.
Well, yeah, because they've been everywhere. It's like, they have these poor boys. I mean, not poor boys. I'm sure they're doing great.
The weirdest interviews. I feel bad for them.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, I mean, when your whole show is about sex, it's like, okay, yeah, you're signed up for all kinds of crazy things. Of like, how does it feel that everybody's seen your butt? It's like, okay, like, I guess, fine. But interesting that you also haven't watched it. Because I feel like if me not watching, it's fine. If you don't watch it, it feels a little homophobic.
Homophobic? No? Well, does it make it better that I'm watching this season of Drag Race? Is that like a good trade?
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay. That's more exciting. Wait, how did Rob convince you into this?
I had the option of watching him sort Pokemon cards or put on Drag Race, and I decided to choose the lesser of two evils.
What? Explain this situation to me.
Just kidding. I mean, yeah, no, he's got it's a off the record conversation. I think he has a new hobby, and it's Pokemon cards, and I support him because I am a good wife.
Pokemon cards or like old Pokemon cards?
Where's Pokemon cards continue to be made, and it's like a big deal, and it's very serious, and it's a very potentially lucrative. I don't know. It's like everyone wants Pokemon cards now.
Is he playing the like Pokemon card game? Like, is he
No. You just collect. You just like collect and try to get the cool cards, and I don't know. There's a lot.
And then he's selling them.
Well, you have to get him graded. Stop. Okay, it doesn't matter.
This is an MLM.
The point is, I'm starting to watch that. So you're welcome. 2 episodes in. And
what are your thoughts? Because this is the first season you've watched, yes?
I watched one All-Star season.
Okay.
And I watched another one with his favorite, with my husband's favorite drag queen, who I can't remember now. So I've seen some. I've seen 2 seasons probably out of order. And so this is the first time, like, watching it live.
Like, live. Okay, yeah. What are your thoughts?
I don't...
Do you care?
I don't
do you
have,
like it?
I don't... Interested? I mean, it's like, the thing that's hard for me is, one, I don't love a... What is this brand of reality TV called? Like a...
Gay.
No. I watched all of Queer Eye, okay? So I love gay TV.
No. Boo.
No, but like the like challengey driven.
Oh, yes. Competitive.
Yes. Yeah, like a competitive show I don't love. I don't like seeing people be mean to each other. And that's like famously what drag queens love to do is just be so mean to each other.
Yeah, but it's like, but they're not actually being mean.
They say that, but then it just is like, oh, that's sad. Don't call him old. You know, it's like, oh, no, she didn't deserve that. So I'm learning. I'm just trying to enjoy it. I'm terrible with names, terrible with faces. So it's really hard for me.
Do you have a favorite of any kind? Can you give me anything?
I do like the girl who did the paper bags who won the first week.
Ah, yes, Nini Coco. Yes.
She has really beautiful like makeup techniques. I always love her weird colored eyelash or whatever. Mm-hmm. I can't speak on this. I'm going to say something wrong. I know it. And then I do not like the punk queen who has the worst walk. It's like I didn't even have to be told Discord that was Adams. Bad. It was just like, ugh.
It's so
be better. Funny. It's like so bad. How has no one told her? Like it's so bad.
I don't know, but I hope it goes all season.
It's like no one's being brave enough to tell her. Well, I mean, maybe the other queens haven't seen it yet.
No, the thing is, the other queens don't like watch your runway. They're backstage, so they haven't seen it. It's terrible. I think that probably at some point the judges will bring it up to her, but she hasn't been in the top or bottom been, like, yet. Relevant. I don't think so. She hasn't gotten critiques, but I'm sure it will come up. It's such a bad walk.
I've never seen anything like it.
Oh yeah, it's crazy. It's wild, and she's like definitely thinks she's giving fashion too, which is the best part.
Yeah. But all love and support, you know, I don't. Yeah.
Are you watching The Traitors is really the question.
I watched the first episode.
Okay. Is Michael Rappaport scaring you off? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I hate him so much. And Colton, honestly, it's like, okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, Colton. Like, I get it. It's like, what is it? Is it bad that I can't get over the fact that he stalked his girlfriend? Like, I don't know if I need to platform this man. Like, sure, he's not going to jail. He can live a happy life with his husband and his dogs or whatever. But I just, like, don't feel like he needs to have a show, let alone, like, 6 million or whatever he's on. I just don't. I don't like him existing on my screen.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because on one hand, like, They clearly brought on Michael Rappaport because they knew that people like wouldn't like him. And I think he also knows that. So he like, you know, is playing into this sort of like villain persona or whatever that he's got. I mean, I think he's also just like actively really annoying in real life too, probably.
Yeah.
But so it's like you kind of know that he's not gonna win, but then it's annoying that he's there.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, like, let, and it's annoying that he's still there
Michael Rappaport.
Right. After these better players and more interesting people have gone. And I think Colton does have the potential to like last a while because I don't, you know, like to the other reality TV contestants, he's kind of inoffensive and I don't think he's like smart enough. Like, so I don't know. Yeah, it is. It is frustrating. I'm optimistic that vengeance will come in the end, but how long that takes, we don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, I have been following. I don't know if it's come across your page, but this like Ashley Tisdale mom drama.
Oh, yes. I'm very intrigued on your sort of like thoughts about this because I feel like it's only been on the periphery for me. I haven't delved in.
Well, so Ashley Tisdale like has a blog, of course. And she'd posted something back in December or something about like vague, like falling out with a mom group. And then it finally got picked up by The Cut and she wrote a new essay that's like, why I broke up with my toxic mom group. And she's famously been photographed in like this big mom, young moms in Hollywood type of group with like Hilary Duff and Mandy Moore and some like influencer types who all had young kids around the pandemic era. And so then she releases this essay that's really not an essay, like whatever, but it's like the most vague kind of like woe is me type of thing where I was like dialed in because I'm like, oh, give me the tea. Like, yes, girl, tell me. But it's really just like they stopped inviting me and that made me feel bad. So I told them that they're acting high school and then they got mad at me and now we're not friends. And it's like, okay, there's no like analysis happening here. There's no like real cultural theory being played out here. It's just a head grabbing, like headline grabbing, eye grabbing headline. And it's not, it's like she wants it to mean something relatable to everyone and like we're all worth more, girls, and like stand up for yourselves. But it's like, well, there's so much context missing in a very context driven situation like this. And if you're not going to make broader strokes about like culture at large and maybe why these mom groups exist and how, who they're meant to serve and whatever, then all you're really doing is just gossiping, you know, for attention's sake. So immediately it was like, this is so uninteresting to me. But then some of the mom group got involved.
Yes.
And so it's gotten a little messier where most loudly Hillary Duff's husband posted a mock-up of like a similar like cover story art where he's doing the same pose and it has the same sort of title where it's like, oh, your people got sick of your self-righteous bigoted takes and now you're out of the group, boo-hoo. And people were kind of like, whoa, is that too mean? Oh, is this the exact behavior she's talking about? So you have like two camps of people who are Team Ashley or Team Hillary Duff. And I frankly think the Team Hillary Duff is the louder one. Like you have Hillary Duff, you have Mandy Moore, you have Meghan Trainor, and there's just a lot more goodwill with that crowd than there is with like Ashley Tisdale fans at this point. So I don't know if anything else will ever come out of it, but Ashley's going through it. And I don't think this essay was the right idea. Like, I think there's so many smarter ways to talk about mom group culture and like mom shaming and isolation and adult friendships and all of this. And it just wasn't coming through in any meaningful way with Ashley's post.
Well, I mean, I think there's, my gosh, my voice. I feel like there is such a natural inclination of like, if you have a falling out with somebody and you believe that you're in the right and that they're in the wrong, to sort of like, you know, kind of like put that out there and have like a gotcha moment.
Yeah.
So I can understand like Ashley Tisdale's gut reaction to sort of like, she's upset that this happened. But, and you do see stories of like, oh, there's all these mean girls and I wasn't cool enough, so like I got kicked out. Like that is a very high school narrative. But yeah. Then also I think you see often in friendships where there is like a friend group and somebody in that group like just isn't like doesn't mesh or, you know, is like being rude or whatever. And so it's kind of like, okay, well, if you're the sticky wheel, then we're just going to kind of like slowly distance ourselves from you.
Yeah.
And also I think there's like some stuff about how Ashley Tisdale might be like slightly more conservative than some of the other women. So like, does that have anything to do with it? Do you listen to the podcast or know of the TikTok account Good Noticings? It's like it's these two women who live in New York. They used to do the celebrity like memoir book club thing where they would like read the celebrity memoirs and talk about them.
Yes, I've heard and they rebranded.
Yes, they rebranded. I really like them. They're currently on a tirade about how Mel Robbins is a grifter, which is like very fun. And I feel like you would like them. They're very like liberal and like have interesting takes on things, I think. But one of them made a video that was about this. And they were saying like a lot of times people like they were saying a lot of times women, and maybe I don't know, you can tell me if you think this is true or not. But the women are sort of marketed this idea of like a friend group of like, you know, like with Taylor Swift's squad or, you know, these high school friend groups and stuff. Like, oh, you have to be in a friend group. And then like that is the sort of the thing. And then once you're in the group, you know, it's like all good. You know, you go to these group hangs outs and whatever. And they were saying that that is really not the end all be all, this like group. If you are actually like a good friend, even if you're in a friend group, you have individual relationships with all of these people and you have like one-on-one dynamics with everybody else in the group, yeah, or at least some of those people in the group. And that when so when there's like a falling out, a lot of times it's because like somebody just thinks, oh, well, I'm in the group, so therefore like I'm good. And it's kind of like, well, no, if you're not really individual friends with anybody else and then you do something weird, then there's really nobody who wants to keep you around. And I feel like this has happened in various friend groups that I've been in where it's like at a certain point you realize, wait, is anybody here actually friends with so-and-so? Not really, other than she just comes to like our group things. And then she's kind of like rude to people. So why do we keep inviting her to the group things if no one's hanging out with her one-on-one? And so that's what they were postulating happened with Ashley Tisdale. Right. Which I don't know if that's likely or not, but I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think everyone has to be friends with every woman. Hopefully they aren't, you know, you shouldn't be rude. It sucks to be iced out. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. But it's more like if you're going to like use your star power on your star platform and pretend you're not stirring the pot because you didn't actually name names, like at least have something valuable to say for the rest of us plebs.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
If we're going to talk about petty drama, I feel like we need to backtrack and go talk about Ginger Minge, this drag queen that won the most recent season of Drag Race All Stars. Have you heard about this drama at all?
No.
So Ginger Minge won season 10 of Drag Race All-Stars. This was her fourth season that she was competing on. And there was already some like sort of ill will towards her because the fans didn't really think that she deserved to win. But RuPaul likes her and so like keeps bringing her back. And then this kind of time kind of like shoehorned her into a win, I think is what a lot of people think. But, you know, like the fandom always has opinions on that. Mm-hmm. So that happened last summer. Ginger Minge, for whatever reason, I don't exactly know why, was on like a media tour the last couple of weeks where she's gone on a bunch of these podcasts, like, you know, Drag Race sort of related podcasts. And I don't think that she has like anything specific that she's promoting. Like, I think that her, you know, manager, whoever, must have just like sent out an email that's like, hey, like Ginger Minge wants to do podcast, or like Ginger Minge's in LA or wherever she was. Like, so she recorded all of these shows. So the first show that she was on, she says, oh, you know, when I was on Drag Race this most recent Drag Race season, like once the other queens started to realize that like the tide of public opinion had turned against me, they stopped talking to me. Only two queens like really texted me the entire season, and that was this woman, Mistress Isabel Brooks, and then I can't remember who the second one was. But like of this cast that has 18 people, she said, oh, only two of them ever texted me. Everyone else sort of like dumped me or were rude to me, whatever. And so everyone was kind of like, oh wow, like that's, you know, it's like sucks to be Ginger. Well, then all of the rest of the queens on the season started posting, because they're all sort of messy, on their social media. And they're like, that's not true. I called Ginger so many times. Like, here's a call log. Like, you can see how much we talked. And then Mistress Isabel Brooks, who supposedly was calling Ginger every week, was like, I have only ever talked to her once. Like, and was showing the like call logs of her. And it's like, yeah, she's only had like one call or a couple of texts with Ginger. So she's like, I don't know what Ginger is talking about, but all of these other queens are mad. And then online, people are like, oh, Ginger is a liar. She lies about stuff. So then people have gone back to clips of her getting interviewed by all of these other outlets, like in the past, mm-hmm. and all of these stories that don't really like make sense. She had some project that she was on that Jennifer Aniston was like the like lead, and she was just like an extra. And there's this interview where she's like, yeah, like the first day Jennifer Aniston brought me coffee, and she was like, girl, like we've all been waiting for you, we're so excited for you to be here. And the interview's like, oh, I didn't know like Jennifer Aniston was doing like PA duties on set, like crazy.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, no, that's never happened. She told this story on Drag Race about her, how her like mom had bought her these ruby slippers that was like very like didn't really sound real, and everyone's gone back to that. There's a clip where she, where when she was filming Hocus Pocus, she says that Bette Midler came up to her and was like, you were robbed on your last season of Drag Race. And then there was, and everyone's like, no, like Bette Midler 1000% like was not even watching Drag Race. She has no idea who Ginger Minj is. But then since that first interview came out, the one where she said that nobody called her, because she had like pre-recorded these other podcasts, they've been like rolling out one after another for the last couple of weeks. But they were all filmed like before all of this lying stuff happened.
Mm-hmm.
So in these new podcasts, she's telling more crazy stories, and people are and now everyone has like an eagle eye, and they're going through and like finding receipts and finding tweets of things she said and interviewing other drag races. It's so funny. And people have been putting these like compilation reels together of like all of these clips of her saying these deranged things that like clearly didn't happen or didn't happen the way she's saying. So it's very funny. And she like sort of was trying to defend herself at first. Oh, also there's two, in one interview, she said that she got the call for Drag Race while she was in the hospital. And then in another interview, she says that she got the call for Drag Race when she was on tour. So that's crazy. She also said that in this most recent season, when Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo were the guest judges, that she was like, I'm not performing this lip sync until Cynthia Erivo stands up and does the like Elphaba riff at the end of Defying Gravity, and that she did it and it was so good. And all of the other queens are like, I was there, that didn't happen. Like, she, like, I don't remember Cynthia Erivo singing, she didn't sing, they didn't stop the lip sync. Like, I don't know where she got this story from. So it has been very, it's been sort of I would say, like, good, sort of low stakes fun, because, like, clearly there's no, like, there's no harm in the fact that she's saying all of these stupid things, but it is really funny.
Yeah. Has she said anything since?
No, she hasn't really released any statements about all the lying. So I don't know what is like coming next for her. And she's already gone on all these podcasts. So it's like she can't rebook herself for them. But it's great.
Well, I have a weird story. I don't know. I don't know how like relevant it is, but it does tickle me. So, you know that creator Hailey Bailey, who I think I've told you about before? Hailey, she's like Bailey, always on the red carpet doing these interviews. She's just like a pretty TikTok girl who's like does these funny skits, but they're all borrowed from other people. She did the Let Them Eat Cake sound during the Met Gala last year, and people were like in a rage about the tone deafness.
I have no idea who this person is, but yes, okay, continue.
Okay, so she's like an internet personality with no real job aside from doing this, but she's,
it looks
gotten
like
in,
she's like a Miss, I'm on her Wikipedia page now. She was a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, and also has done like a bunch of pageants.
But she became TikTok famous during the pandemic and like whatever,
and
now she's on the red carpets and stuff.
Yes.
But she was doing a podcast interview early this year, so like early January. She was on this random podcast talking about her divorce from a few years ago, where she was married to an NFL guy, whatever, don't know him. But she on this podcast is like, well, the number one reason we broke up is because his dick was too big. Like, she's like describing that it's like two Coke cans size, like width and length, and it's too much. And it was like they were thinking of all these surgical ways to help, and they were trying all these therapies and stuff to make it work, but they just couldn't. And so that's why they got a divorce. Which is like, whatever, that's crazy. But he's now suing her. Her ex-husband is suing her for like, for
defamation.
Yeah, for like some sort of like some sort. How does it phrase? It's like he's suing her because he thinks she's divulged too much and it's affected his personal life. Like now everyone's like on him. He's ex NFL. He was trying to have this like quiet life post retirement, and now everyone's just talking about his massive dick, which it's like obviously, you know, a curse and a blessing, whatever, however he needs to go through this. Like, I'm sorry if it's that hard for him, but pretty wild that now she's like caught up in this this literal legal scandal, and she just is always stepping in it. So honestly, karma finds its way, but there you go. Not everyone wants to be labeled with that BDE, you know? It's like Pete Davidson talked about how hard it was after Ariana Grande revealed him in that way, and now Hailey Bailey is just stirring the pot as per usual. So
because apparently it's a sexual sovereignty lawsuit, which is a phrase I have never even heard of. I mean, I guess on one hand, like, yeah, you don't, you it's like you want privacy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, you're getting labeled as something that is usually good. I'm sure that there are lots of people who are now clamoring for this. It's not like, you know, but she said, oh, he never yeah, it has that. Like, penis was this, it was like corkscrew shaped. So I couldn't yeah. really sit on it because it was like so uncomfortable because it was, you know, like, looks like a loop or
like,
something.
It's so big I was crying every time, and it's like, okay, I guess maybe that turns some people off, but to me it's like, okay, your whole argument is that you wanted privacy. Well, then just let this story slide. Like, she's not that right. big of a person. Yes. Like, it cannot last that long. That's what she said, but huh? Yeah. So I guess now
it cannot be that big.
Yeah. Now we'll see.
As two more Coke cans is crazy, though. I know. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah. Like, I would also be getting a divorce. Girl.
Yeah.
I don't. Like, that's not something I am interested in. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah. So there you go. You heard it here first.
You heard it here first, folks. Okay. Shall we get into love it or hate it?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Love it. Like it. But I saw Primate, which it's basically Cujo, which is about the rabbit dog, but this is about a rabbit pet monkey. And you know, the trailers came out, it's a January movie. It's the trailers make it seem very like, you know, it's a creature feature. It does not seem like the best cast, the best acting, the best storyboarding happening. But it got pretty good reviews of people being like, whoa, this is actually very unsettling, very dark, and very gruesome. So I ended up going, and it was honestly too much for me. I was sitting there and I'm like, wow, these are the kind of murders that Matt loves to see. They are so disgusting. And I also just like hate monkeys. So it was very effective in that regard. I think it's a pretty easy thing to make very scary is the idea of a chimpanzee just tearing your face off, literally. Yes. So it worked. And it was so gross. I honestly thought it was PG-13 until the first kill happened. And I was like, oh, no, this is R. This is rated R for like very valid reasons. And it also stars the father from Coda, who's been like everywhere.
Oh, yes. So uh-huh. him.
But that added an interesting element, having a deaf family member facing off this hellscape.
Facing off the monkey, yes.
So all in all, it was a pretty fun like creature feature. Yes, there are some dumb choices made by the humans, which is always frustrating. And so there's a lot of like long stares where you're just screaming at them to like do something. But it wasn't like too unbelievable. It wasn't like a Quiet Place, like watching the kids there just be idiotic. There was a lot of real fear and trauma. Okay. So I think you'd
after you recommended it, I did get tickets. So I am seeing it on Wednesday. Oh my gosh, I will report back next week on my thoughts about this.
Okay, perfect. But what about you?
So this is a classic Matthew hoity-toity pick, but I'm going to do it anyways. So this year I've decided that I'm trying to watch like more old movies. I should be maybe trying to watch more TV, but I'm not.
No,
I'm
yeah.
trying to watch like more old movies. So and also I'm very incentivized by the Letterboxd app. If you go into the stats, like, and you go to your all-time stats, there's like these little wheels that show you like how many of the best picture winners you've watched, how many of the IMDb top 250, whatever. So I was like, okay. And I had watched slightly more than half of the best picture winners. So there's like almost 100 of them, and I think I'd watched like 49 or something. So I was like, okay, I can watch one best picture winner a week and, you know, cycle through them. That'll be a bunch of like old stuff. It'll be good to watch, like, you know, good to have for reference. So I have watched two of them now, both of which have been Billy Wilder movies. The first was The Lost Weekend. And then the second one that I watched was The Apartment. And The Lost Weekend is basically just like a straightforward movie about alcoholism, which I think would have been really like eventful in the 1940s. But like now is not, you know, it's like we've seen so many takes of that that it's not interesting anymore. But I watched The Apartment this last week, which is a like rom-com starring Jack Lemmon and Shirley MacLaine. And it is so funny and like the most charming movie and just a classic rom-com. I was like, we need more of these. The premise is that this guy who works for the company, played by Jack Lemmon, has an apartment that's on the Upper West Side. And in order to make more money, because he doesn't get paid that much, he's like a low-level person, he like rents out his apartment at night to his bosses so his bosses can bring like their mistresses to his apartment. Which, you know, obviously leads to a whole bunch of hijinks of like, okay, we got to pass the key off to these different people. And like, oh, we accidentally scheduled two people for the same night. So, like, you know, or like he wants to go to bed and he's getting a call from his boss and is like, hey, I got to bring this girl over. So it's a very funny premise. But he's in love with this elevator operator at the company, played by Shirley MacLaine. And what he doesn't know is that Shirley MacLaine is the mistress of one of these men at the bank. So, like, she is actually in his apartment with this other guy, even though he's in love with her. It's just, it's such a tight, like, constructed movie. And it's crazy that it won Best Picture because it's truly just, like, a straightforward rom-com. It's like You've Got Mail or you know, Sleepless in Seattle or whatever. It's not like a drama at all. And I don't know, I really enjoyed it. And I was also just like, why are we not giving out Best Picture to more fun movies when we apparently used to do that? Because this movie came out in 1960. Yeah. And it won like Best Picture, Best Director, Best Screenplay. A bunch of the actors were nominated. Like, crazy.
You're like, why isn't Anaconda getting nominated?
I was like, why isn't Anaconda getting nominated? Exactly. Jack Black for Best Actor. He's so funny.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think comedy is like underrated for some reason now. And it's just like the self-fulfilling prophecy where we don't take them seriously, so we don't invest in them, so they're not good, so they're not taken seriously. And it's like, it's too bad.
And I think a good comedy is so hard to do well. Like, anybody can, you know, kill off a kid, play a Max Richter score, make everybody cry in the audience. Not everybody can make you laugh, you know? Yeah.
So true.
So true.
Well, thank you for that throwback. Wow. Yes. I feel like our entire podcast has gotten more legitimate.
Well, really stay heightened. Tuned because I'm sure that some of these old movies I'm going to hate because like, I think there are some clunkers in the mix that I haven't gotten to yet, and I will probably need to complain about them. So,
yeah, of course.
Look forward to me watching Braveheart.
There's probably a lot worse best winners than there are losers. So,
yeah, Green and Book. I feel like, you know, I feel like, well, thankfully, I already watched that. Yeah. But I'm like,
Crash. I think
probably
a
lot of the, yes, I saw Crash. Why did I watch Crash? I watched it for some reason or another. That's a crazy movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I do think about it often because Sandra Bullock is in that and there's, because it's a big ensemble movie and there's one line and she's sort of like a bitchy, like angry white woman who's just like pissed off at the world. And she has a line that's like, I'm so angry all the time and I don't know why. And it's like, okay, well, that is just like, that is white people right there. Like, they're just pissed off. And for what? Because they don't have slaves anymore and they're mad about it. Like,
The relatable back if that's the angle you're coming at it with.
Well, that was the angle that I was coming from with it. Myself. Are you pissed off all the time?
I mean, I think for valid reasons.
But
I
you know why.
Against white people, probably. Okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. There's that. Yeah.
You're like global warming and then you're pissed off about it. You're not like, oh, I just feel rage in my bones.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is. You're right. Thank you. So validating always talking to you. It's like...
You're a better person than Sandra Bullock in Crash.
Stop.
That's one of the few characters I would say that's worse than you morally. You're sort of at Lord Farquaad level, but she's slightly below.
Okay, well, we'll get a sense on Thursday of who I'm really leaning towards and who I might identify with.
Because we are doing our 2026 movie preview, as we have done for the past Lord knows how many years.
So beautiful to have a tradition, you know?
To have a tradition. And I was looking through the list of movies, and there's a lot of different types of things going on. So it is exciting to discuss.
Exactly.
Well, thanks everyone for listening to this. And we will be back on Thursday with our movie preview. So we'll see you then. Bye.